This podcast has been around for like 2.5 goddamn years, and we've made 17 episodes.
Oh, that
hurts. This is episode 18.
That really hurts. Are you fucking with me?
We should just say this is season 2 and start over.
Can we just call it something else? Hey, welcome to the trash pile. Okay, making sure.
I'm recording, I think.
We really are rusty, huh?
Oh, yeah, it is. We are recording. Okay, cool.
That was great. Recording, I think.
Well, fuck it. We'll just keep that in. That's it. Welcome to the beginning of the
show. We'll do it live.
We're a little rusty. Intro? Yeah, I guess so. Hi. We did it. This is Recycle Bin. We're back. Could you tell that we were rusty? I don't think so.
Should I, like, introduce myself? Has it been that long?
No.
Like,
I mean,
I've been
maybe.
In, like, the public eye.
Okay, sure.
Hi, this is, oh, you know is what? Brian. This is weird. Hi, I'm Brian. I'm the editor for Front Page Tech, for those of you who don't know.
Editor, co-owner of the company.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I was going to say,
I'm a producer as well, I think.
So this, okay, here we are. Welcome to Recycle Bin. This is Recycle Bin, our podcast. Okay, so this is great. We nailed it. Nailed the intro. I was going to say, I mean, I guess it makes sense right now to be like, okay, yeah, this is Brian. He's the editor, co-owner of the company. Because there's so many new people. But I was, one of the things in my notes was a pet peeve of mine that I just discovered that I hate about podcasts. I fucking hate when the co-hosts or the hosts start out by saying, how are you?
Why?
Because it's fucking stupid.
I don't understand.
It's pointless and stupid. We talked, Brian, we talked before we started recording. People, when they start their podcast, they have already spoken to each other before they hit the record button.
I see what you're saying.
And the audience doesn't give a shit.
It's completely, like, fabricated, what you're saying.
Yeah, it's literally just something you can say while you wait for the next thing to say, what you think about the next thing.
Well, I think it's also a way to restart conversation. We just don't need that.
Hey, how are you? What the fuck? We're not in a Starbucks.
Well, let's try it. Let's try it.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm okay. A little tired. I'm so used to staying up really late to do the show, like 2, 4 a.m. So I take a nap around this time for like 3 hours. And I'm like, you've interrupted my nap because you went, we're doing a podcast today. You can't say no.
I've been saying that we need to do a podcast every day and it never happens. And here we are. There's no show tonight. So don't worry, Brian. This is all we have to do.
Oh, I know. I'm very aware there's no show. If you were going to say there's a show, I was going to say, no, fuck you. There's no show.
we've been doing episodes of Front Page Tech like every other day, I think.
Which is weirdly working out better than
Dude,
the daily episodes.
It's been absolute insanity. So I got numbers for you.
Oh, yeah? Well, mostly for the audience, I would think.
Yeah. So before I jump into the numbers, the reason I've been asking to do a podcast is because... So there's two reasons. Number one, so the audience has some more content because we're stuck at home.
True.
And...
That's
think,
a good one.
No one's going to work, no one's going to school, so here, extra stuff. Here's an hour of us. Yay you, lucky you. But also, I'm selfish, and I wanted to have a piece of content we created in the middle of a goddamn pandemic.
Time capsule. Oh, dude, I just realized something. Holy fuck.
What?
This is going to be so free.
What?
Ready for it?
Go ahead.
Coronavirus.
Dude! We can say it. We can say coronavirus, COVID-19. Dude, it feels so... I like...
Wow.
It's so far gone that in my head, it's not what that thing is called. Yeah, it's BAP. Yeah, so obviously on Front Page Tech on the show, on YouTube, we can't say coronavirus or COVID-19. We've gone through such great lengths to censor that out, either create noises for it, and then Brian, you have a fucking plugin on Firefox for when you take screenshots of articles that will just censor the words automatically.
And it sucks because like I want to look up news and it like you don't see that, John, and the audience doesn't see this, but like that plugin for Firefox just fucks all the coding of websites. Like it just shreds it and fucks it.
We can't show or say the name.
Yeah, if I try to load a website I just want to browse, like what you're seeing is like after I fix it a little, because it's so jumbled and it fucks all the code up. It's a nightmare, but it's the best I could do.
We've tried so many different ways to get around the system and get around the algorithm, and somehow every time it figured it out. Like even when we came up with just the noise BAP instead of saying coronavirus, we would show a screenshot and like the plugin would miss one instance of something saying COVID-19, yeah, a coronavirus, like fucking 6 minutes into the episode. And YouTube's like, ding, you're gone.
Yeah. Now I have to actually read the articles I put into the show. That's bullshit. Yeah.
Well, you usually don't even listen to me. You just edit and listen to music.
Dude, I listen to... Okay, I should tell you that the last couple of episodes, I've actually been watching Twitch streams.
Dude, well, what?
It's easy. I can watch the waveforms, and I know how you work. So, like, you know.
I guess that's a side effect of us doing this for years. We're almost at 1,000 episodes, Burn.
I know. Dude, you know what's kind of crazy is, like...
you said that's so defeated.
Okay, so this month, I just saw the number... on Social Blade, we've gained like 23,000 subscribers this month.
It's 27,000 in the last 30 days.
Yeah. 27,000. So like, okay, this month has been great, right? But we haven't done a podcast in 8 months. How many subscribers have we gained in 8 months?
Okay, so I got the numbers for you. Funny you should ask.
Oh, wow.
All right.
This is almost like we're professionals. Yes. I didn't do that on purpose.
So since the last episode of Recycle Bin, okay, mm-hmm, on the day the last episode of Recycle Bin came out, we had 155,000 YouTube subscribers.
No way.
Yeah. Now we have 216,000. We're gaining 1,000 to 2,000 a day.
Uh-huh.
We were getting 30,000 to 50,000 views an episode.
That's it, really?
Again, when the last episode of Recycle Bin came out, that's what we were getting every day on an episode. Now we're getting 125,000 to 150,000 every episode. Also, when the last episode of Recycle Bin came out, I had 40,000 followers on Twitter, and I now have 120,000.
I have 6.
you have 600,000? That's insane.
Yeah, that's what I meant, definitely.
It's really just been like...
That's crazy.
Well, I guess that's a little bit disingenuous because it's not like the growth has been happening since the last episode of Recycle Bin. The growth has only happened in the last month or two. It's been bonkers.
That's true. You're right. Well, I mean, it's so weird to think that like we're just so used to these views now, like how the show does.
Yeah.
To think that just a few months ago we were getting less than like 60,000 views every episode is like, that's hard to like brain. My brain math doesn't like work. That's
and we
insane.
Were putting out an episode almost every day, trying to.
Yeah, and now we might put out 3 a week. Sometimes.
Yeah, we do it like every other day. But also, would you say we work harder now? Or
yeah, I would, because like the episodes, they're actual content. It's not just like, okay, here's some news stories. Like there's actual content, and like, I mean, for me personally, like. Okay, like the fact that I'm editing these episodes while also listening to music or watching Twitch is like kind of dangerous. But like the other episodes, yeah, sure, whatever, because a lot of it was just kind of like going through the motions a lot of times. But now it's like I pay way more attention. I know you do as well.
Oh my God,
like,
also, dude.
We've been scripting a lot of stuff too.
Yeah, so a lot of the episodes, at least a portion of them, like the last, let's say that like the main story, the headline, has been completely scripted. Some shows have been 100% scripted from top to bottom. And the script is shared with Brian on Google Docs. And then I make my own comments for like specific parts of, like, we work together just to make sure the episode gets out within like, you know, a decent amount of time. And that's the first time we've ever done something, especially with Front Page Tech, where, you know, I sit down for like 3 hours before the show. I script all the shit I want to say. And then that script gets put on Google Docs. And then there's like notes that is placed for when Brian is editing, so he can look at the script and know where to place stuff. It's insanity. We've never done that sort of work on an episode. You know, it's just like 15 minutes ago. Apple did this.
It's really funny that like what we're doing now is just kind of like what people who actually put out professional content have been doing.
So the last episode of Recycle Bin, we actually talked about, it feels like so long ago, but YouTube had was removing verification from channels. That was the drama at the time. That quickly changed like soon after that episode.
Real quick, did you like just listen to this to like get a refresher on what we talked about?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, and also the title was YouTube Giveth and Taketh Away or something like that.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, okay.
The drama in that episode was that YouTube was taking away verification. We talked about that, and one of the things was to be approved again for verification, you needed to show that you that like some media websites have mentioned you, and you need to provide 5 links. Since mm-hmm. then, I've been verified on Twitter, and I want to say, I don't know if this is an exaggeration, but like 25, 30, maybe 50% of the news in the last month has been from us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'll do a thing now. When a show goes out, I'll give it like an hour or two, and then I'll just casually look up like what the headline was. Or like today, I looked up like to date this episode, I looked up iPhone 12 pricing leak.
Yeah.
And there we were, right there, John Prosser. So everywhere.
Yeah, it's insanity, which I wanted to bring up and ask you because so right now has easily been the most stressful of like
mm-hmm.
of I guess my side of things in our career because
this is true.
Like so our leverage is a bit different from I would say other leakers because instead of working with employees that typically and if you've listened to me on a guest on other podcasts you probably heard me say the same thing but with other leakers or people that publish information from leakers, so the leakers are the people actually in the companies, mm-hmm. not even necessarily me, I'm just reporting the information. Leakers are giving me the information. And usually those people that work with other like publishers like Max Weinbach or Steve from OnLeaks or whatever, like these sources are used to giving information out and they know how to be careful and they know something else I've learned behind the scenes, a lot of the sources with these companies are actually the source. It's like one source that works with many different publications, like 9to5 Mac and Mac Rumors and mm-hmm. all of the stuff. And yeah. the source like basically takes turns and hands a leak to each one individually. Wow. Yeah, so it's something I had no idea that this is how it works, but
that's so weirdly lame.
Yeah, so it's like the source is like, okay, 9to5 Mac, you get to report this day. Mac Rumors, you get this. And it's like one person just giving out the information.
It's so sterile. It's
yeah, and it is oddly organized behind the scenes with leaks and stuff. I know that because some of the sources that worked with other publications now work with us because the publications lost their trust. And so, I'm not going to mention names exactly, but in some way, shape, or form have literally fucked these sources within the last few months and published information they were specifically asked not to. And as cool as that, like if you want to, you get information early and you want to publish it, especially because you know you get a lot of attention and clicks and all that other stuff. If a source asks you not to, you don't, number one, because they won't trust you and they won't give you more yeah, information.
You'll lose your, they have, I mean, technically the source has all the power, I would
yeah,
think.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell?
And also, you could fuck them. Like they could lose their job. There's a lot of instances where they could lose their job.
Depending on how serious it is, they could go to prison for,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, good point. So a couple of the publications fucked over a source that now works with us, and he's been an amazing source for us. It's just like, and it's, I know exactly which publication it was, and I know which articles, you know, they went behind the sources back and published, and I just wonder, like, okay, they had to know what they were doing. I wonder if it was worth it for next year when they don't have the information.
I don't know how it could be worth it. Sorry, I was yawning. Not because I'm not bored. It is nap time. But no, I don't know how it could be worth it. Like, that's like, fuck. It's like killing a cow versus just drinking the milk.
Maybe they assumed that, like, okay, so we burned this source, but hopefully by next year we have another source, maybe?
That seems so dumb. That seems, what a like, throwing people away mindset.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's crazy. So it's been really stressful for me because they are just regular employees for these companies, you know, well, specifically Apple, obviously, and they're all over the world. They're in different, they're like maybe in supply chain or in marketing or in Cupertino. Like they go through all different levels of the company. And it's just because they're fans of the show. They just so happen to watch the show and also work for these companies. So then the burden of like protecting them falls on us. And
yeah.
So like we usually double check, like if we're, especially if we're publishing a screenshot of something, that's when it gets sketchy because I mean, obviously we don't want to, we don't want to miss it and then publish like,
oh, fuck yeah.
An employee number or something like that. And Apple's so specific with their security, like especially in a lot of cases where there's an employee memo shared or something mm-hmm. that's like high up, it's shown on employee IMAX that you like you couldn't you it's not something you can pull up on your phone and get a screenshot right. of or something. Like it is it's on a specific iMac, and the iMac will have a camera above it. So like Apple
is God.
Yeah, it's very it's crazy.
Holy
and they're
fuck.
Like they'll make so if you take a picture or a screenshot of and we've published a few screenshots of memos and stuff from you know a protected secure iMac. So how they, you know, how they smuggle the photo, I don't really know. But
that is in that creeps me out. Like I remember when I first learned about I don't know if it's supposed to be pronounced or not, but EXIF data.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that exists on like photos taken through cameras and how it like sometimes even like coordinates are yeah. saved in photos. Dude, there's so much like extra data that you have to like people always like I you know you've mentioned it before, but like what is this taken on a potato?
Yeah, okay,
this
that's
picture
a good
of
point.
An iPhone. Well, no, it's to protect whoever took it.
And not knowing exactly how it works makes it a little bit more terrifying because okay, so obviously the employees yeah. are using iPhones. So and I know that privacy and security is a big thing with iPhones and with Apple, but like I still don't I just feel like there's always a way to trace it back. So, okay, so we published a picture yeah. of AirPower like what, 2-3 weeks ago? I don't remember. I'm sorry. Not technically called AirPower. It's called C68, but if you look at the picture, it's, you know, it
oh,
looks
come
exactly
on,
like,
Mr. Yeah. Leaker, Mr. Leaker with your code names. It's a charger, Matt.
Well, I want to be like yeah, it's AirPower. So to get that photo, we actually planned that out because so I had information on AirPower, but because I'm stubborn and like maybe the entertainer in me and the fact that we do a YouTube show, I wanted to be able to provide visual proof. Like I wanted to be able to provide yeah. a picture. I thought it would add more weight to the information I gave. And so we worked out with sources where I think Mark Gurman at the beginning or maybe the end of March or something had reported that Apple employees, specifically engineers, were allowed to work from home. And for the first time like ever, they were getting prototypes sent to their home so they could work on prototypes in the home. And we saw that report like, okay, well, that's
well,
our end.
We go.
We're gonna, yeah, yep, we're going to get a picture of this thing. And so C68, a prototype of C68 came in. And we didn't want the person, the source, to take a picture with their iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we were just worried about that data or it's somehow being traced
anything.
Back.
Literally Tim Cook with a telescope looking into his
yeah,
house.
Yeah, exactly. And so...
Not that our source is a guy. Who knows?
So I think we said, I think I published information saying that Apple sent the prototypes out to the sharing and proximity team. And now that team specifically works on software communication between devices. It's the way, you know, AirPods, when you open them up, communicates with your iPhone. It's the way that yes. when you set your iPhone down on AirPower, it knows it's on AirPower as opposed to a different wireless charging mat or whatever. And then communicates between iPhone, AirPods, all that stuff. And a lot of people were like, well, why would you say team? Because then you mm-hmm. give away the source. Well, I mean, I published a prototype and Apple knows which team got the prototype. So it's obviously somebody in that team. And
well, yeah, it wouldn't be like the dude who runs the Starbucks on the Apple campus.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just
like they know.
Yeah. I'm trying not to be annoyed because I know a lot of the viewers and a lot of the people in the audience don't understand and they're trying to be protective too. But like all the things that you think about and you think you're being clever about, we've already had to think about because people's jobs are on the line. And
yeah, like I'm sure Apple is also thinking about it too. Like how can we get these motherfuckers?
Yeah. So if you like, you know, we've had to be so careful and there's so much work that goes into something before it gets published. So when you think you're clever and you're like, oh, but you didn't think about this or Tim Cook can find the person because this, trust me. We already thought about it. We already figured it out. Just enjoy the episode, please.
Like you almost want to be so careful. Like it would almost be worth it to hire like a police sketch artist to like make an artist rendition of AirPower just to avoid getting like, you know.
Well, I think that's why a lot of concept images happen from a lot of leakers because they get the information and based off of that information, they want to give a visual representation. And so I made a concept of the C68 prototype. But first, I wanted to provide the picture of it. And Bern, do you know how I got that picture? Did I tell you?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, so for the audience, the way we got that prototype picture was we didn't want the person to take a picture on his iPhone because we were worried that
sketchy data.
Yeah. So we had the source call somebody else on a completely different team, like not even like close into the company, on FaceTime. And then that person took a screenshot and then gave it to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's, dude, it's like, it's so necessary, I feel like.
Yeah. So that's why for years reporting on leaks and stuff in Front Page Tech, we always made fun of how leaks and pictures look like it was taken on a potato or a calculator. But that's now seeing this stuff. That's why it's usually to protect somebody.
Very necessary.
Yeah. It's usually to protect somebody. And
it's very stressful.
Yeah. Like, and I didn't want them to FaceTime me because if I take the screenshot, then it's like, it's the... Basically, the way it was explained to me is it's like piracy. Like, I'm distributing. Whereas if somebody else has it and just gives me the information, I can be the journalist, be the reporter, and publish information. I can't be the person that captures it and distributes it, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it makes total sense.
So it's been really stressful. We've been all over the news. Like, all major Apple leaks lately have come from us. Obviously, we nailed the SE date. And that was the one thing so we leaked a lot of stuff in March that was then confirmed by Apple. But like a lot of people, like r/Apple on Reddit, it fucking hates me. They absolutely hate me.
No, they're coming around.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so a bunch of stuff that we leaked, even that was confirmed by Apple, like WWDC being online only, no face-to-face stuff, nobody being invited, that sort of stuff. Or the March event being canceled, or the iPhone SE being a little bit delayed, all that stuff. Like, everyone, especially on subreddits that were, like, just dedicated to trying to explain away the leaks, there was always an excuse. You could always add an excuse of like, well, of course, because of the climate and the coronavirus, and it was just a good guess. The 15th was like a thing that I could not guess. We've never before had a leak of a date of a quote-unquote surprise press release. I don't think ever. We've had like, oh, Apple products this week or something, but not a specific date, and definitely not from the month before. So this was the one thing I needed to be able to like feel like the pressure was off and like I didn't have to prove myself because I couldn't guess this date. And so it came out on the 15th. Obviously, we even leaked the exact time it came out.
Like 2 hours before or something like that?
So it worked out. It was great. It was easily the most stressful day of my entire career. It was awful.
Yeah.
But it came out and the pressure has been relieved. I've taken a little bit of breather. I'm still working on stuff in the background. We're working on a cool story that I'm real excited to leak. Today we just leaked the iPhone 12 pricing lineup for, well, the iPhone 12 later this year, which will come out in October, November. It's a little bit delayed, which again, we were the first to report that too. But I wanted to ask you, Byrne, because as the editor of the show, co-owner of the company, what's your perception of what has happened with Front Page Tech in the last month or two with the leaks and all the attention and stuff? Like, has it changed on your end? Do you feel more pressure? Are you nervous about episodes?
Well, okay. So, from my point of view, and I was talking to Bridget, my wife, about this, for those who don't know. Now Front Page Tech is actually Front Page Tech. Like, before it was just a catchy name, but now it's like true. Actually accurate news. So that's pretty cool. But no, it isn't more stressful for me, actually. In fact, not much has actually changed because as nonchalant as I sound about it, I do take editing the show very, very seriously. And I'm like, I even get on, for instance, I get on John all the time where it's in the middle of the night editing. And he'll duck away to go to the bathroom or something. And maybe he won't have his phone, or he'll be gone for like 20 minutes doing whatever. And I'll be like, hey, where the fuck are you? I need to like fact check this with you. I need to make sure I got the right shit. I'm always like that. So I haven't actually been more, I haven't been more focused. I've always been the same, you know. The only thing that's really changed is like, I get really excited now when we put out a show because I know that it's actually good content. Before, I was getting really like, I don't know, concerned that like I would know when we did a bullshit show that was just like, okay, we need to upload, we need some news stories, and maybe it'll be funny, maybe it'll just be a throwaway, whatever. I'll edit, get through it, and here we go, you know. Because I mean, we've talked about it before, but like burnout's real. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we've made the same show. We've made the same show for like, well, what? We're on 7 years now? Almost eight?
Yeah. So like, you know, it was starting to wear and it was very much like what's the end goal here? You know, like we're just going to keep bullshitting about like, oh, this guy, maybe there's a rumor going around. I mean, I guess we're doing the same thing now, but like we're making the rumors.
Yeah, so. It starts with us, which is cool because like, okay, now I know when we put out an episode, you know, it's like we put out today's episode and in the first 15 minutes, people had already put their articles out about it. So there's media that just like chill and wait for us to put out a show or a tweet or something like that. It's crazy. So you're saying that the leaks or like the media attention hasn't really changed how it feels for you?
No. Well, again, because I mean, my editing style has always been very airtight. Like I run a tight ship, motherfucker. Like I got all my main, I've been actually considering like putting up I don't even know how I would do it, but like a tutorial on Twitter or something.
Oh, we should make another like, how we make an episode.
Yeah. Because like I have all of my, I even buy specific editing mice because I want specific functions on my mouse. And then like, I have all my shit key bound to different, like I'm like sitting over here playing World of Warcraft with all my like editing abilities key bound to my keyboard. Yeah. So like I've been the same editor. So, you know, and again, it's not like, my name is not in the news articles, so it's very like kind of one-sided. You know what I mean? I don't have to worry about what you said. I'm just like, that's gonna go in there somewhere.
Like even if shit hits the fan, you're like, I don't know, man, you said it, not me.
Be like, I don't know him. I just make the show.
Okay, here's another question. So if the media attention and the leaks hasn't changed your perception, has it changed anything, like maybe not even changed your process, but changed your mindset and like how you feel and think about the show now that way more people are watching? So maybe not the leaks or the media attention, but the fact that there's more eyes every episode now.
You know what? Okay, yes, because now, I mean, this has been a growing trend. It just so happens to have been like accelerated, but like knowing that there's a larger audience and like people really like memes, like they really latch onto memes. So like I'll look at something and be like, okay, there's a new, okay, to give perspective, there's kind of a new growing little meme in the show with you ascending. Yeah. I'm really aware of that. And I, you know, as much as I fuss about like, it's annoying to edit or whatever, I get excited when I can see the potential and like, oh, people are going to really like this joke or whatever it is. So I just look at things a little bit differently.
I get excited about
now,
that too. Like it's, there's very specific moments. I mean, obviously now when we make an ascended joke, we know what it's going to look like. But the first time I said it, I didn't know what it was going to look like. I love that. I love that I'm just like, I just have this stupid idea in my head, but I'm not too specific with how Brian should do it, mostly because I don't know how the fuck he's going to do it. But I can't even think about how you would edit it. I just come up with an idea in my head. I'm like, Brian, do this. And the first time he sent me the clip of the first edited draft of like the ascension, dude, it's that feeling of being so excited for the audience to see what I just saw. I love those moments. I love those little memes that we make, even if you hate them.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I do see again, like it's not really a negative, but it's just, we've been very busy with the show and with the show changing. So, and you know, I've moved since, you know, like there was a big surge of content and we used to do a lot of live streams and stuff, so I do miss that. So like I've in fact kind of felt like we've been missing stuff, like we haven't done the podcast as often
at all.
we haven't been doing live streams, so like we've definitely, I think we've at least for me, I felt like I've lost touch with some audience,
dude. That's another topic that I had here. I totally agree with you.
Like, it feels really good, but it also might just be growing pains, too. Like, we've gotten bigger, and we still have a really nice, tight-knit community, I feel. But as we keep growing, it's going to get more sort of abstract. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's just like, I get reminded often, though, because, like, the memes that we make follow into other people's comment sections or Like, yeah, you're right. I'll be watching just some other tech channel, and the audience is like spammed Jeff Poo all over their comments or on Twitter or like, or the I've Ascended thing. Like, if people, I'll just be on Twitter and people will just be tweeting screenshots or replying with screenshots of me up in the sky. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forget that like that stuff sticks with them and they share it. And it's really, really cool. But in a way, I totally agree. Like, I feel very disconnected, if that makes sense. Like, not even from the audience, yeah, I feel disconnected from what we make. Like, it goes out and I don't check comments as much. I don't check, obviously there's a lot of articles written about the stuff we make. Mm-hmm. I used to read, like, I have Google alerts on and stuff like that. So when an article or like a Reddit thread or something came out, including our names, I would look. I don't do that anymore because it stresses me out. Yeah. And so I have gotten better at accepting that, like, Front Page Tech is our outlet. And if I have something to say, I'll say it there. I don't need to nitpick and like read every article and reply to every tweet or whatever. And so
you can't. Too, yeah. Like,
so when an episode goes out, I like turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way I totally agree. I feel like we need another outlet. Like, this podcast would be a this podcast would be a good start. It's like we stopped doing a podcast and everyone else started a podcast in the tech space. So here's another one, everybody. Here you go. You're welcome.
Right.
People that are subscribed to this are going to be like, "What the fuck? Is this a new episode? What?"
I know. They're going to be like, "Wait, is this a glitch? Or is like, my thing messing
up?"
You
know, there's a lot more people watching us now. So when I tweeted out or we posted somewhere, this is their introduction to, like, think about this. For tens of thousands of people, this is going to be the first time they've heard us talk.
Oh, dude, I just got a total, like, mind fuck.
Well, why?
So this month, we've gained 27,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
I remember when we had that many subscribers.
Yes.
So, like, just thinking that, like, we just kind of, from that point, we've just gained another, like, entire audience.
Yeah, I mean, from it combined on Twitter, on YouTube, we've gained, like, 70 something thousand this month.
Jesus.
In 1 month. And this is the biggest growth spurt we've ever had. Front Page Tech always grows in spurts for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. So as disconnected as we might feel, like, I'm still, I think I speak for both of us, we're super grateful for this. Like, especially just the ratios and percentages of people who come back and watch every episode. It's fucking insane. More than 50% of the audience watches every episode. That's nuts.
That feels good. Yeah.
That doesn't happen, like, with any channel ever. And it's just crazy, and we're grateful for it. And, you know, however long you want to keep watching, we'll keep making it, I guess, until we get tired and take a break.
Well, now we have, like, an obligation because you're being, you know, you're a big old mouthpiece for all these Apple leakers. So, you know. It's a social obligation now.
So I'm disconnected from it. Burns a little bit disconnected from it. So I feel like...
Who is connected to it?
Yeah. I feel like we need... maybe this is the outlet. Maybe... Because like I said, for lots of people, this is their first time even hearing me longer than 10 minutes and not screaming. It's just like... It's just...
Yeah, uncut, unfiltered Jern.
So this is Recycle Bin. Please stick around. Also, this is Burn.
Hello.
You're not just the editor and co-owner of the company. You've been my best friend for years. We're like Rhett and Link, but like less rich and less cool.
Yeah.
So, Burn, should this be the, should we try to commit to doing more podcasts or should we?
Oh, that's hard.
We've talked about other outlets, like having a Jern and Burn channel where we just upload whatever the fuck we want. We've tried so many things, like a Discord server. We tried for a second and then that got too out of hand. And that we only...
That got hard to manage real quick, so, sadly.
I don't know. We should just quit. Really? It's overwhelming. We should just quit.
Go live in the mountains. Well, you know what? Okay, about Recycle Bin, committing to it. I've been thinking about coining this term for a while because it's never meant how you said it.
What does that mean?
Because it's just... Well, hang on. You have a sort of catchphrase at the end of the show that everyone loves. You say, okay, we'll see, or I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's good that you don't say tomorrow because you can it's like tomorrow can be a made up word that means whenever the fuck, because
it's never tomorrow.
It's never tomorrow.
No.
So we'll look forward to the next episode of Recycle Bin tomorrow.
Dude, and I even know I'm lying to their faces when I say it now. Like, I used to mean it and then be like, oh, I guess we're not posting the show today. But now, whoopsie, I look into the camera and I say tomorrow, knowing it's not coming tomorrow.
Yeah, you cry inside every time you have to lie to the audience.
Oh shit, I love it. What can you do?
Yeah,
I like producing an episode every other day because
feels better. Well,
we're in the middle of a fucking pandemic. First of all, there's not a lot going on.
Not a lot of news,
and the news that we're putting out requires a little bit more time and thought and effort from us. So, and dude, it's just like, it already feels busy and like we're just like, yeah, we're leaking so many things and we need to take it slow. I couldn't imagine doing it every day.
Well, and you know, in a weird way, I think the daily episodes also contributed to the loss of like perspective and the disconnect we felt, because there was no time to like, oh, that was a really good episode.
It was just a routine. It was just
like, okay, next one. It was just like, okay, keep moving on. Next one, next one, next one. There was no like, I feel like, I bet the audience felt that way too. There was no time to like stew on anything we put out.
Simmer. Because it's like just that. We put
day to day.
We put out an episode and just letting them sit there for a day or so, just let them simmer. It gives us more time to breathe, and it helps me like put more into the next episode. And I feel like the episodes have just been so fucking packed.
Yes, much to my dismay. Whenever I get a file, I can kind of see the file size and be like, oh, I know how long this is going to be. When I get like a really big file, I get internally just angry at you.
Well, it could mean one of two things. Either it's a lot of information in an episode that needs a lot of attention, or I kept fucking up.
Yeah, but annoyingly, you've been really good at not fucking up that much. So it's
really
just been a lot,
I feel
of information
like you've been fucking up a lot.
Time. Nah, there was a period of time where you were a nightmare. Where I would like, I would just look at the waveforms and I'd be like, yeah, that's the same take for the next 3 minutes.
Dude,
and I'd be like, okay, so I'll just skip all that.
There are times where, dude, I'll be recording. And so on some days, like if it's a really good day, 15 minutes in and out. If it's like, I would say an average day is like 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
Wait, what the fuck are you talking? No, that's not it. You're totally off base. You have no idea what you're talking about. Average for you now is like half hour.
That's what I just 35
said. 35 minutes. You just said, no. What?
No, I said on a really good day, it's 15 minutes. Average nowadays is like 25, 30 minutes.
Never 25. Always 30 or higher.
Okay,
but anyway,
30 minutes.
Continue. Sorry.
If it's a real bad day and things are not going my way, it goes up to 45 minutes.
Yeah, there's been a couple like 50 plus minute stinkers that we've gotten recently.
And I'll look at the duration of time that I've been recording while I'm recording. Like, it happens every time I get through the first story. First thing I do is look at how much time I've been using and to record, and I'll see it and I'll look and I'll be like, oh fuck, it's already been 20 minutes. And I'll just feel so defeated because I have to somehow get through the next two stories. And then I go through an internal struggle of like, fuck, do I just start over for Brian so he doesn't get an 11 gigabyte file?
No, it's funny. My reaction is like the opposite. So it's like, if I, because you know, they can see where the cursor or where the timeline scrubber is in relation to the rest of the file on Premiere. So if I get through the first story and I notice that that's like an eighth of the total file, I'm like, oh fuck, this is gonna be a long show.
Yeah.
So it's like the total opposite like reaction. Oh man.
So I guess if we're going to continue doing Recycle Bin, we should let people know that we brought Recycle Bin back a few months ago for like a month or two, I think, is we stayed consistent. So this podcast
month.
Has been around for like 2.5 goddamn years, and we've made 17 episodes.
Oh, that hurts.
This is episode 18.
That really hurts. Are you fucking with me?
We should just say this is season right 2 and start over.
Can we just call it something else? Hey, welcome to the trash pile.
Trash pile. Okay. So what we were doing is, so we wanted to transform the podcast a little bit because everybody with a fucking podcast, especially a tech podcast, all does the same fucking thing. They're like, oh, we should start a podcast because everyone's doing a podcast. Marquez put out Waveform, Unbox Therapy put out, what the fuck is it called?
Who cares? Another tech podcast.
That's what it's called. Anyway, everyone does
nothing against Lou, but who cares?
Everyone starts the same. Speaking of Lou, there was some drama this week. Did you hear about it?
Nope.
Okay, I'll tell you about it in a second.
Okay.
So everyone has the same fucking format with their podcasts. And I know, especially the tech demographic, you listen to a lot of the people. And so I don't want you to listen to, I don't want to put out another show that is the same show that you just heard from Marquez and from Lou and whoever else. I don't want to keep doing that. So we sort of transformed Recycle Bin to make it all based on you.
Call in.
Yeah. So it's all based on voicemails that you can call in and leave us. And we will feature it in the episode and answer a question. If you have a question or you just want to say something or give us a topic, you can call in. The number is 404-913-4226. Again, 404, like the error. 404-913. 404-913-4226. The number is also in the show notes if you want to look at it. And you call us right now, leave us a voicemail. If we make an episode next week, you might be in it.
We'll see.
And that's, so we like to not have to, basically the burden of and the responsibility of keeping the show rolling is on you, because we don't want to think of topics because it's too hard and we're too lazy. So you call in, you give us topics and questions, and we'll make a show for you. It's a fair trade, I think.
You're right. Oh, and our future sponsors. Hello.
And our if you're a company listening to this, we are open to monetizing this. If you really want to make sure we make an episode every week,
there you go.
Sponsor it. That's the best way. Okay, so this Lou drama. Let me look this up. Let me look this up.
Do I even
want to
know?
Yeah, you
do. I even want to know?
Okay, so Lou put out. So obviously the iPhone SE. Oh fuck! I just spilled water everywhere. So the iPhone SE came out. Obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a week before it came out, Lou put out a video called "Dear Apple." Did you hear about this?
I didn't.
Okay, so in Lou's video, I just had to sigh. In Lou's video, the video is effectively about asking Apple to repair their relationship, because everyone else is getting devices early, and Lou wants to get devices early, like Marquez and everybody that is brand safe is getting stuff early, and he doesn't want to have to buy products like everybody else. He should get them early because he's Lou. He's the number one tech channel.
Wah.
And so the video was called "Dear Apple." I guess he wrote them an email like trying to repair their relationship or whatever. And he made a video to try to get their attention. Now, that's not even the major drama. I would say number one, obviously the video he made was for content and for views.
Right.
We all do it. If he really just wanted to reach out to Apple, he didn't need to make the video.
Mm-hmm.
But also, this is the same guy that has caused PR havoc for Apple every year.
Yeah. With like multiple sources, and like it's a whole thing all the time.
I mean, the reason he got popular is because he bent an iPhone 6 in half.
Yeah, let's not even talk about the infamous iPhone giveaway.
Yeah,
better
truckload of iPhones. And then
regardless,
every year,
yeah,
you know, even just as close as last year, the year before, you know, ChargeGate, BeautyGate, who was the first person to make a video to expose Apple? Like, right.
So Apple, that's the controversy then, is what's the public perception of this? Are people upset that he wants to repair his...
It's a little bit about... It's just like, I mean, I'm totally cool with Lou, you know, taking the stance of negativity or trying to expose or like number one, that gets views. It's fun.
Yeah.
And also, that's just the character he plays. But that's the bet you made. So don't be like, oh, but I really want to be happy and
lean
be friends.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
And also... I mean, now, okay, I haven't seen the video, right? So take this with a grain of salt. But based on what you said, he's tired of having to buy all the Apple products to like talk about them?
He wants to get them early so he can talk about them earlier.
I see. Okay. Well, that does make sense. I was going to say, if it's a monetary thing,
he's the biggest tech channel and all that other stuff. But listen, Apple doesn't need any of us.
He doesn't. They don't need MKBHD. They don't need any Linus. They don't need anybody.
Anyway. He put out a video. What's the title of this fucking video? Holy shit. Okay. He put out two videos in the same day. He's holding the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He got a black one and a white one.
Okay.
He's holding the phone in the same way, but one thumbnail, he's smiling and joyful and happy. And the other one, he's frowning. The title of one is called "You Should Buy the New iPhone SE." The other one is called "Don't Buy the iPhone SE." Now the "You Should Buy the iPhone SE" is leaning all the way into positivity and mentioning all the great things about it and why you should buy it. And then the other one is obviously the hardcore leaning all the way into negative stuff. If you didn't know that this was a two-parter, and you just stumbled on, like if you just stumbled on the negative one, you would assume those were his real true thoughts. If you would have stumbled on the positive one, you would have thought those were his real true thoughts. It wasn't like a pros and cons thing. Like, you had to know that he put out two different videos. And as just like a casual viewer that just got this recommended, you're not going to know.
Right. Well, I mean, you know what? This might surprise you, but I think that's actually kind of funny.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I think that's a lot of other creators do it. I think it's funny too. But it was painted as like a case study.
Oh.
Like he wanted to prove that negative stuff does better than positive stuff.
Oh, I mean, that's just obvious.
But yeah, okay. We didn't need a case study for this because his entire fucking career for the last 3 or 4 years has just been the negative expose stuff. So the case study has been done. He already proved it. He grew his what? What the fuck is it? How do I?
Lots of many.
He has 16.5 million subscribers. He already proved the case study. So I don't know why we're like.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I take all of that stuff as well. Like him saying it wanted to make it a case study. That's all like with a grain of salt because at the end of the day, that's probably not even really true. It's
The drama. I mean, the drama isn't like, I don't care that he put out the two videos. I'm not going to tell him not to do like, who the fuck cares? Like, I'm not going to be like, you can't do that. That's immoral. That's not my thought process at all. Just doing this and then not being like, oh yeah, I could get views both ways. I put out two different videos.
Yeah.
And give views both ways. But to paint it as like some fucking like psychological case study.
Yeah, there's that. That's the disingenuous part, right? Like, just own up to it, you know? I feel like that's... Okay, this might sound pretentious or whatever, but I think it's really hard to get into the upper echelon of YouTubers, multi-million subscriber YouTubers, and then dodge all of the sort of negative shit that comes with that.
Yeah.
Like obsession over metrics and like there's got to be an ego boost there as well. And like there are some creators that have done a great job like not getting really self-obsessed. And I would paint obviously Linus in that light and then Marquez. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of other Jonathan Morrison, you know, there's too many to list.
All of those happened in a different time too, when it wasn't so analytical. It was just like organic and
if you look at like it's an easy thing to look at, but like Fortnite YouTubers or like general trend hopping YouTubers that were just kind of, you can see all of the sort of nasty sort of behavior that's like really kind of, it's really fake and disingenuous. Like This isn't me saying that like smaller YouTubers are better because they can fall into the same traps, but like, I don't know. There's just a sort of corrupting thing that happens when you just grow crazy
and you're put into a box. Like right now we feel like we need another outlet and there's not much, we don't have many options on the channel because you know, the audience has come to expect this show. And so that's what, you know, that's what they signed up for. That's what they subscribed for. And that's what we produce. That's why so many people watch every day. We're not a variety channel. You know, that's the difference between us and a lot of channels that like have a bunch of subscribers, but only get a couple thousand views a video. Yeah. It's because people are just picking and choosing what content they might be interested in. Whereas with us, you subscribe for the thing, you get the thing. That's it. It's very simple. I think we've been pretty open, more open and transparent than most channels. Like when we were going sort of Apple-centric and iPhone-centric like a couple months ago, we flat out said, the algorithm wants this from us right now, so we're going to put a heavier emphasis and focus. I mean, we still get comments every day like, oh, all you do is talk about iPhone or whatever. Like, we saw the pattern in the algorithm wanting us and elevating content and taking more chances on content that was Apple-centric or iPhone-centric. So we started doing it like where a couple episodes a week were about an iPhone or Apple related. And then it, when the Apple leak started, it's, I mean, literally every episode has iPhone something in the title. And mm-hmm. obviously it has worked, like creating patterns and being able to generate a pattern and give YouTube and the algorithm what it's expecting. So it takes a better chance on you and elevates the content. Like, it works. Momentum is a very real thing on YouTube. This is advice that I've given to YouTubers forever. And they always give up too quickly because they're afraid to commit that hard to niching down.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, just to add on what you're saying real quick, I think the points I was just making are very related as well, because like, we aren't immune to that, the sort of weird growing pains of like getting bigger and like being obsessed with algorithms, right? So like, yeah. we get really obsessive, and some of our content may come off as disingenuous because we're pushing like iPhone stuff all the time. So like, mm-hmm. and the, you know, that's what you just said, like smaller YouTubers don't do it because it's like, it takes a long time to build those patterns. And then also it feels fucking weird.
It does.
To like, just kind of give over control to like the algorithm and it be felt like, fine, icky. Okay.
Like,
yeah, it doesn't feel good. Exactly.
Like, it doesn't feel so icky now, but like, when we were putting out every other episode about iPhone stuff, and I was like, fuck, I mean, I know I could have like an Android title, or I know this could be the headline, but I'm going to go for the low hanging Apple stuff as the headline and thumbnail.
Right.
It just felt icky. And it was like, this is so noticeable what we're doing. And that's why I was like, that's why I was more transparent about it. Like, guys, I know you notice it, so this is why we're doing it. And now it's literally like, it's a no brainer. Just every episode is just, and you, I don't know when that'll let up. I don't know when things,
will like return to any like normalcy.
I wonder if, you know, well, right now it's been a lot of, because the entire episodes have been about Apple. Now we're throwing in other news, and a lot about that is there's legitimately not a lot of other news happening.
Yeah, not really. And then you also just happen to have an in with a lot of really good Apple informants. So,
and I know there's like, okay, so there's OnePlus news that has happened. There is other news that has happened, but, and like the Pixel 4a, we talked about it in today's episode. It's not like we're excluding that news, but we have to be very choosy of the title and the thumbnail we use, because just because you're interested in it and we can include it in the show doesn't mean it's, sorry, OnePlus, doesn't mean it's as clickable as the Apple title or thumbnail.
It's very black and white in a sense that like, there are obviously bad business decisions to be made.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds really like kind of toxic and gross, but like, it kind of is what it is. And the way we kind of have been skirting around it have been Apple based headlines and like Apple, you know, titles and thumbnails. And then we squeeze in a Pixel story, or, you know, we squeeze in a OnePlus story, because that's kind of, we don't want to just be shoehorned. But at the same time, I mean, if we just put up whatever we wanted, well, we wouldn't have gained the subscribers we did in a month, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
and it's not, it's not even so much because of the algorithm. The algorithm is just doing what it needs to based off of human behavior, based on what it's learned from viewers, and viewers are clicking this stuff for whatever reason. So when we make it, I mean, I've tested so many, like the exact faces I make and what performs better, what the expression on my face, which performs better, what colors perform better. It's fucking ridiculous, and no one should ever have to have the shit I have in my brain. But the numbers don't lie. We're growing better than we ever have, and we don't know how long we can do it, because we don't know how long we'll have the sources. This could just be a transition in our career. We don't really know. And so, I don't know
what the end of FP2, who knows?
Yeah, we might fucking quit after this. I don't know what normal looks like on the other end of this. I don't feel like it's this forever.
No.
And I feel like this is a transition, but I don't know what it looks like on the other end.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be this forever. Who knows? But, and this is why, like, yeah, we kind of gave Lou some shit earlier, but like, he's just further along on the path than we are, in a way, because we are kind of doing the same stuff he's doing. It's just like, it's more developed for him. You know, does that make sense?
Like, literally everybody's just playing the game.
Right. So like, I'm never going to give Lou actual shit for it, you know, because I mean, I still think the way in the end he handled the later case thing was great, right?
Yeah, that
we
was
just, we need more of that. Like he need like that just needs to
I
be
forgot
like,
we were yeah I forgot that was the thing.
That just needs to be him moving forward, his outlook on stuff. That'll give him a, you know, that'll avoid the controversy part. They can just skip that half and go into the, you know, lose a cool guy part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so like, well, I'll never like really give him shit because we're all just in the same game, you know? So it's weird to think
yeah,
of
I would,
like
I'm,
that.
The drama, so I just wanted to talk about the drama, not because I fucking made it up. It's a thing that everyone was discussing. And like,
yeah,
it's just I don't like the stance of, oh, it's a case study, but like, I also understand why both of those videos happened, why they went mm-hmm. out, why they were framed the way they were. And it wasn't a case study. It just is what it is. And, literally all of us are playing the game. I fucking hate that I have to make the faces I do in a thumbnail. I fucking hate that, like, you know, it's the same same vague title every fucking day. I hate this shit, but it's how it works.
This reminds me of a weird hate I've developed for a specific thing in a channel I really love. So, Good Mythical Morning, okay? One of the best things to ever happen to YouTube, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, I love Good Mythical Morning.
They have a thing they do. I know why they do it. I understand, okay? But it doesn't make me hate it less. They'll have a sort of challenge in their episode. It'll be like, if we get it right, whatever, it's like usually in the things that are like in the jars, and to be like, what happened to the thing in the jar?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have a multiple choice and be like, okay, if we get three, you have to comment on our Instagram and you have to say you're a big dummy.
Yeah.
But if we get and they'll have to post a picture to Instagram saying that, like, and it's just a way to push engagement. Right. But I fucking hate it because it's so like, it's like whenever you have to like listen through to an ad read on a podcast or something, it's like, here, excuse me while I shill for a little bit.
We kind of do that.
No, I know we do. Right.
Like we'll say, like, you know, at the end of a story, we'll be like, what's your opinion? Let us know in the comments below. But we don't read the comments.
Well, that's not true. I read the comments. Like,
I mean,
I
we do, but like, I definitely don't. I mean, we just talked about it earlier, how we don't read all the comments like we used to.
Well, no, listen, I mean, like,
it's more like the top comments.
I understand it, and I know we do it, so I'm not condoning or not shitting on them for it. I just hate it. I hate, like, having to listen to the shill. It's
and
like
us doing it, you see when other people do it, and you're just like,
ew. Yeah, exactly. I'm happy we don't do a lot of integrated weird ads, because it'd be really weird to watch you have to shill out really hard. You know what I mean?
Which we have done before.
No, I know. But like, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, boy, this is my favorite. Raid Shadow Legends is my favorite game to play when I'm on the toilet.
We've done Raid before, haven't we? Or no?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I wrote a Raid ad.
Okay, yeah.
Like a year ago or something.
So I have a couple reasons for when we're like, when I ask for their opinions or whatever, leave it in the comments. We obviously cannot read every comment. I usually read... If I'm there, I'll read comments like in the first hour of the show went out, or at the very end of the day or something, like after the show's been out for a good amount of time, I'll look at the top comments. And I ask for people's opinions, partly because I want to see them, but I would say it's more so because I like the audience discussing amongst themselves. I love that we, you know, our opinion and our... We made the show for them. It's already out. We did our thing on our platform. And in the comments is literally for them to discuss. And I love, you know, seeing threads of hundreds of replies of people just discussing stuff. Hopefully they're not calling each other names. But that's the cool part to me is like, we'll ask a question, leave it open, and then somebody presents their opinion in the comments. And then it creates this whole like discussion amongst our community. Like people we brought together there. It's cute. I like it.
It's cute. No, it's cute. You know, personally, I like the names. I like the name calling, but that's just me. But no, I know what you mean. I was just talking. This sounds so fucking nerdy. I'm sorry, but I was just talking to somebody on World of Warcraft about this the other day. I miss forums a lot. Like I miss the prevalence of forums in like the mid 2000s. I spent so much time on random gaming and like other forums, you know what I mean? Like just having weird long discussions about weird shit. So like YouTube comments are, Twitter's whatever, but YouTube comments are kind of like, when they aren't just memes, there's actually some good shit in there when we can provoke actually good discussion. And I appreciate that. So it's a nice little outlet, I think. You know, I've been thinking about, well, you know what? Actually, this is a thing for after the podcast. I don't want to, in case it's something we actually want to do. I keep forgetting we're being recorded. I'm so out of this. Out of practice.
Yeah, kind of being recorded. Yeah.
I haven't been like on camera in, well, like 8 months since we did the last podcast. So
yeah,
a little rusty.
It's been a second. What were you going to say though?
About what?
Oh, are you really waiting until after the podcast?
I'm really waiting until after, yeah.
All right. So I really love my favorite type of content is long form content. I fucking love podcasts. I hope that we can, I'm not going to make any promises, but I hope we can, continue it.
Tamuro.
I hope we continue it because it's a nice outlet. And I like, you know, we're in the middle of a once in a lifetime motherfucking pandemic. Zombie apocalypse.
You know, before you finish your outro, because I know that's what this is.
Okay.
This will be short. How has the pandemic, the coronavirus, the COVID, the horrible shit affected your day to day?
0%.
I think that's really funny because
everyone is just legally required to be me now. They just have to stay inside, order food.
Yeah. I don't know if people are really aware how much of a hermit crab you are.
I'm 110% hermit crab. You work from home too.
Well, I work from home doing this. And then my wife, Bridget, she has an essential job. So she's just going to work every day. And you know, it's pretty fucking, although like, you know, the biggest change to my day to day is I can't go to Walmart at 3 a.m. I miss that so fucking much.
Oh yeah,
that
was Walmart closes like at like 8 or something.
That was like my favorite thing is like, oh, I could really go for a specific brand of sweet tea that only Walmart sells by the bottle. Nope, no more of that. So I just don't.
I hope things go back to normal.
Sad.
Soon.
That'd be pretty cool. I do miss my Walmart trips. Oh, yeah. And also like those deaths are bad, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. It's very sad. Very sad.
If you can't laugh about it, what are we doing? You know?
So yeah, I just wanted to be able to produce at least one episode that I could say we did in the middle of a once in a lifetime pandemic.
Hashtag quarantine life.
Relatable. I wanted to give everyone that's stuck inside a little bit extra content, a little bit extra us, Jern and Burn. And, side effect of that is for some of you, this might be your first time ever hearing us like this. Recycle Bin, like I said, has been around for like 2.5 years, but it's the most inconsistent tech podcast that has ever existed, I think.
Can that be our like tagline?
Yeah. What if every episode is just a surprise? There is no schedule. It's just whenever it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us know. Tweet us on Twitter. The links to
tweet us on Twitter.
Yeah, I would hope that by this point you know our Twitters. Oh, if you
don't forget to send us a goddamn voicemail, you monsters.
Yeah, tweet us on Twitter. Let us know if you want this to continue, if you liked it, especially if this is your first time. Wow, my mouth is stopping working. What?
Talk too long.
What is Kevin's thing on The Office? Why say many words if you were do
something
trick?
Like that? See, this is the worst. We're outroing, and I just remembered I wanted to ask you about why if you talk too long, you throw up thing came back.
We'll say maybe, that
wait,
for the
wait.
Next episode.
Yeah, next episode. There you go. Cliffhanger.
Tweet us if this is your first time listening. Let us know what you thought. And also, go ahead, leave us a voicemail. Again, the number's actually in the show notes. I'll say it for you again. 404-913-4226. That is the number, so you can call it and leave us a voicemail. And maybe you'll make it in the next episode. We'll see. Don't say any bad things, or you won't make it in.
Just so you do know, we do screen them.
Yes,
so
they are.
We won't
screened.
Just surprise. Oh,
also don't text the number. That's fucking pointless. So many people are like, when we were making Recycle Bin before, they were like, "Oh, I texted you. I didn't make it in the show because no one asked for your fucking text messages. We asked for a voicemail. You cannot text the number. No one sees the text messages. It doesn't work. Only call voicemail. Thank you very much.
And you know what? Here's something else. Follow John and Brian, both of us on Twitter, because we'll definitely tweet out before the next episode is being recorded.
I didn't want to tweet out this time because I wanted to be a total surprise.
Yeah, but next one will be premeditated.
Ask us about Brian's hemorrhoids, whatever you want.
I don't have hemorrhoids.
Okay, guys.
I'm a relaxed pooper.
Have a good week. Stay inside. Don't die. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at freestylelibre.us.